Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz _ radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz and Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you in. We're on the road today. Home Football Friday at the Graduate. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore. The garage doors are open. If you've not been to the Graduate 9th and P, shame on you. It is a phenomenal setup. Troy and the gang do it right. It is Nebraska themed. They have Top Golf suite simulators, the longest drive competition. If you're hustling down, keep hustling. Folks are getting in line to get their three swings. Real easy to do. You can hear the cue to call or get signed up on ESPNLincoln.com and swing away. Three swings, the longest drive of the group, moves on to next week. Survive in advance. Nebraska trying to survive the non-conference as Northern Illinois comes to town. To my right is Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore and, of course, co-host Big Red Wrap-Up. Jay, we have picked pretty incredible Septembers for football season, and the fan base, the team, the coaches, they want to see, well, they want to see kind of a hurting tomorrow under the lights for the first time in the Frost era that this one won't be canceled, right? I mean, we're back from Boulder. It was an insane trip. It was a lot of fun. That fourth quarter is seared into many Nebraska fans' minds. We had a great time doing shows out there in the People's Republic of Boulder, but it was a tough one to swallow. But Nebraska is trying to get right, and that's really what tomorrow night is about, getting right against a quality opponent in Northern Illinois. Can join us today at 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Can find us on Twitter, Chris Schmidt at Schmidt _ radio, at JMoore44. And, of course, you can talk to the award winner by tweeting at Colton Stone at 2 Birds, 1 Stone. Greg Smith is coming up in 20 minutes. Get his take on all the recruits coming in for the first night game. Some recruiting recon with Gregors coming up at 4:25. Joel Makavica, our favorite fullback, is going to join us at 5. And then Bill Dolman, the Pride of Fairbury. There will be a Clausburn sighting for the Friday forecast.
Beautiful.
At 5:40. I know you've got your picks ready.
I do.
And I'm afraid about what he's going to say about the BYU student body. I'm fearful. Jay, you've had a week to digest. I know we talked yesterday briefly. A thought here with tomorrow night here. And you've been in this situation. You've been in a situation where you've got an opponent on paper that isn't even close to as good as Nebraska. Northern Illinois is a really good program. And you've got to kind of tune out the noise. You've also had the opportunity where maybe you fell short the week before, and you've had an angry and focused week of practice.
Yeah, hopefully this sends them in the right direction. Obviously, last week was, you know, the second half. The first half was great. That was a good-looking football team. That football team looked a lot different than what you saw against South Alabama. Defense came out kind of firing all cylinders. You saw some good things from the offense. Yeah, they had some issues, but I mean, overall, it was a steady improvement from what we saw week one. And then, you know, the tides turn, momentum flips, and you see a different football team. You get downside of the momentum. You make some mistakes, you have some turnovers, and all of a sudden, you got cement boots on in the deep end. You just can't get back up
good
for
painting.
Air. Yeah, you know, you can't get back up for air, and you end up, you know, going to the bottom, and you know, game's over. So. Yeah, this hopefully puts them in the right direction, puts them right in the mind frame. You know, I don't want to say humbles them a bit, because maybe that's what they need. Maybe this is what it needs, a little humbling, because let's be honest. I mean, the hype's been there, the preseason hype, and they haven't lived up to the hype. I know us around here, we're a little hesitant on the hype, but naturally.
I bought in. I mean, I was probably part of the hype, and you're just doing your own math in your head with what's back, with what is been done. I mean, you look at, at past performance, right, to predict future success. And Babcock, Mike Babcock, I love Babbers. He had an insane, in a good way, an insanely just great column today about the rebuild looking easy when it's not. And Scott's is our guy, right? And that's kind of the take Nebraska fans have. He's one of us, and he's done really well. He was a great player. He's been a great coach. And it's supposed to just happen. Right? Let's do the old McConaughey reenactment, some fairy dust. But it doesn't happen that way.
No, I mean, it's – listen, I think a lot of it was – you want to talk about the preseason hype. You look at – obviously, you have a very good quarterback to come back who's gone off to a bit of a shaky start. He's been okay. He hasn't been great.
He looked great in the first half.
He had some O-line. You have some O-line issues. The defense – to me, the defense, you know, for the first six quarters, looks like they took a step forward. Offense has taken a kind of a step back from last year. That was what we were expecting. We're expecting, you know, offense to take kind of about two or three steps forward from what they had last year, and defense is hopefully you'd take a step forward. But you know that was going to be potentially a liability. Now it seems, you know, offense and defense and even special teams at this point are kind of a liability at this time of the season. And trying to compare, you know, what Scott Frost did in year two to what he's got here in year two, I mean, it's apples to oranges.
Roster talent conference.
Expectation levels, too.
Sure, that's
people,
fair.
People, you know, dealing with expectations is tough. You don't have that at Central Florida. I mean, he talked about it. He's able to go around Orlando and walk around anywhere. No one knows who he is. He can't step foot in anywhere without getting around here and getting hounded. I mean, people know who he is. People, you know, if Central Florida went 8-4 in year two.
Hey, that's still great.
It's still great, but no one's, you know, hey, good job. You're, you know.
It's not coach of the year great, but it's great.
Yeah, I mean. So it's tough, you know. You could have some very good expect, you know, but I think here it's the expectations, and they should be higher. They absolutely should be higher. And people, but people need to understand, though. I mean, this is, you know, we're coming off a couple, we're back to back losing seasons. Mm-hmm. I mean, we haven't won a conference championship in, you know, in 20 years. The talents as times have been there, but you just haven't been able to put together. With offensively and defensively and special teams, we just haven't been able to do it, and it just takes time to build. And these guys have gone through some stuff. You know, there's some memories, some the demons are in the heads of these guys.
PTSD.
Yeah, correct, 100%. Yeah, that's a better term what I was looking for. They got to work through that right now. They got to work through this. Anytime you feel a lead slipping, you know, they're like, oh crap, here it comes again, here it goes again. You got to work through that stuff. You got to work, you know, and start bouncing back. So hopefully. You get one of these games early in the year, and you can start building off of this. But it's interesting. I think it's, you know, I hate to say a crossroads of the season because it's, you know, it's only the third game we haven't gotten the conference yet, but it kind of feels like that where this team's got to kind of make up their mind what they're going to do because, obviously, you got conference starting here in 2 weeks.
Jay Moore, Chris Schmidt, Hale Varsity Radio at the Graduate 9th and P. Home Football Fridays. If you're signed up and en route, it's all good for the longest drive competition. Kristen's watching, and also a chance for you to get signed up for Nebraska and Northern Illinois tickets for tomorrow. Fill us out a sheet, get your name in the box. We've got some gear and some lottery tickets and some koozies for your golf bag or your tailgate, and we don't even charge you for them because we love you. You mentioned the crossroads element and angle, and I think it's a really good question to talk about. If Nebraska does not come out and drop the hammer tomorrow, offense, defense, special teams, is it a indication, is it the old bat signal that it is going to be a long season?
I think so. I mean, we're kind of chatting with some buddies, and you know, before I came out here, and you know, they're pretty into tuned with what everyone else is going to because of for gambling purposes. Let's
right.
put it that way.
Look, they Vegas know. Says two they, touchdowns.
Right, they know. But they
not,
also
not
say,
21,
you
not
know,
24.
But they're talking about, you know, the preseason, you know, total wins, 8.5. You know, they're talking about they've had people have action on that. And, like, would you let, you know, people buy out of some bets? Or if, you know, if they had them at over eight and a half.
9, right.
Right, you know. So you're kind of thinking, you know, what's the scoop? You know, on that. So, listen, I think this team, I think every game this year is going to be a dogfight. I really do.
Next Friday? Yeah. I should say next Saturday. Yeah. Forgive me. I've got the year of the Shermanator where you got to play.
I do.
You got to play Illinois on a Friday night in front of
I hope I'm proved wrong, but I just think they – listen, I mean, he said it. I mean, they can beat anyone, but they're not good enough to, you know
– show up.
Show up and just – and do that. I mean, they're not. So, listen – they could beat Ohio State, yeah, but it's going to be close. They can listen. They can beat anyone on the rest of the schedule, but it's going to be close. Yeah, you can also lose everyone on the schedule. That's just where I am. I've tempered my expectations for this team after the first games. I thought 8-4. 8-4 is still very attainable, but I think we did our stuff. I said 9-3.
I said 10-2.
Yeah,
I burnt that tape.
Right, right. Now it's 8-4 and maybe closer to 7-5. I don't know. It is what it is. By what we've seen in the first two games, this team has a lot of work to do, and they got to come out and take care of business. Otherwise, it could be interesting tomorrow night.
Let's talk about that work. What's the most glaring area of need tomorrow night?
O-line. 100%. That O-line's got to figure it out. They got to be able to run between the tackles. They got to be able to get run on first down and get into second and manageable. Too many times this team gets in the first down and it's second and 9, second and 10, and you're like, now the defense holds all the cards and they can be aggressive. And they got behind the sticks way too much this year. That's happened. You got to be able to run the ball in between the tackles. You can try to go east and west type style is very complimentary once you have a good inside game, but you can't live off of it. You're going to get killed, and you're going to get killed especially in the Big Ten against bigger, faster, better talent. And this team's got to be able to get vertical in the run game, and they haven't been able to do it. And Maurice Washington isn't the guy that's going to do it, in my opinion. You better get Dedrick Mills or someone else going to get north and south in this run game, and the O-line's got to figure it out and piece it together and get more – and start working together better up front, because otherwise, if they can't run the ball on first down, this offense isn't very successful.
Is it more about not holding the blocks long enough, the back not complementing the O-line when they do get a block, or is it an issue of guys not getting moved?
I think it's a little bit of everything. I still think, I think I told you on just the other day during the radio interview, this whole line's still trying to figure out what the deal is with, trying to get their camaraderie and unity with Juergens in there. They didn't have him for all camp, so they're working through that. Dedrick Mills hasn't been here that long to be able to work with that. They're still working through some stuff. You can, like I said, training camp's one thing. You can practice really well in training camp. That's, you got to start there first, but you really don't know what you got until you start going against a different squad. And there's some glaring issues, but it's very much so with that offensive line. Protection's been good at times, but at times it's been spotty. They've had trouble picking up games, which is a communication issue. So I still think that's where you see, inexperience with Juergens in there amongst that crew. So Coach Austin, I know, is working these guys tough, and they got to put it together and piece it together. They got to be able to run the ball in between the tackles and get north and south. You just can't get east and west. You're going to get killed, and you got to pay. Teams are going to start loading up the box for you a little bit. You got to make them pay too. Adrian's got to start seeing the field a little better, and guys got to start making catches. Wandell, I know he's a freshman, but hey, he had a couple killer drops in that game against Colorado. Guys got to step up, and make some plays, and Adrian's got to put it on him. So everyone's got to step up. Defense has got to seal the deal, and offense has got to hold their end of the bargain. They just really haven't for these first two games.
If I'm going to go silver lining or, Red Bull and vodka being half full here, I want your take on it here. I like how the Davises have played and gotten after the quarterback. I like that Nebraska's not even allowing.
All three of them. I can go about Alex Davis, too, and the Davis brothers.
Yeah.
All three of them, yeah, they've been really good.
They've been good against the run. We're talking less than three a carry.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they've been very good at getting after the quarterback when it comes to hurries, when it comes to sacks and TFLs as well.
No, they've been great. Defensive line has been pretty solid. You're going to have some issues. They have some mistakes and stuff there, but I thought, Caleb Tanner's coming along nicely, but, Khalil, Carlos, Alex,
They've been
Daniels,
making splash plays.
Stilly, they've been making good plays, man. It's just and it's about time. I mean,
they're all seniors.
They're all seniors, and they're really good. So, hopefully, they keep doing it and getting better. That's the biggest thing, is they keep producing and get better throughout the season, because they're doing some really good things right now.
Well, we've got a chance for you to get signed up for Nebraska tickets as we give away Nebraska Northern Illinois T-shirts. Seats here. We're at the Graduate 9th and P every home football Friday. Come by, get signed up, get some lottery tickets, get a koozie. And for sure, get in line here for the Top Golf Longest Drive competition. Can sign up online, ESPNLincoln.com, or hear that cue to call throughout the week for Home Football Fridays. We've got folks swinging away right now for that good group out here to get ready for Nebraska and Northern Illinois. The tiki bar is full, Jay.
Oh, it's bumping in here.
And you and I need we love walking by the tiki bar. We stop occasionally by the tiki bar.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You must have.
And we'll hear from Greg Smith and get his take on a big recruiting weekend, a big stretch for Nebraska on the recruiting front for 2020 and 2021. That is key for the Big Red. We'll also hear from Klausburn as the Friday forecast about an hour and a half away. We'll get into to the fan reaction from Boulder and the fan mood this week, and specifically the criticism, House Coach Frost dealing with that. Still to come here is Worth the Graduate. Come see us, 9th and P. Here till 6 with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Back with you. It's a Roadshow Friday at Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Jay Moore, we're here at the Graduate, 9th and P, Home Football Fridays, 4 to 6. Still time for you to get signed up and win Nebraska Northern Illinois seats. We'll do that giveaway. Folks are participating here in the Longest Drive competition, and that's a chance for you to sign up and, as I say, show off how long you are. And, Jay, you are not eligible with the Longest Drive. Otherwise, we'd be it'd be a ringer, my friend. So gorgeous weather. The garage doors are up, and we're next to the tiki bar here in front of the Top Golf simulators. Folks are here swinging away, having a good time. There's a little dodgeball going on. You can play zombie dodgeball. They've got a football. If you want to go Roger Staubach, old school reference, this is pretty good. I've got to read this this email that came in, and it's Chris at HaleVarsity.com, and can find Jay. Johnny C., one of my favorite people, Johnny Clare, Chris at HaleVarsity.com, reminds me that I am not in my 30s any longer. The guy that's still in his 30s, and he is phenomenal with recruiting, and we need to get him out here to swing the clubs a little bit. Greg Smith of HaleVarsity.com and magazine, at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. Mr. Greg, are you enjoying the weather outside, brother?
I'm about to enjoy the weather outside as I head out to a high school game, but it is a really nice day. I've been locked up in the office all day because we get the magazine goes to print on Sunday, so I just realized that it's a really nice day out.
Yeah, they didn't let you out, man. I mean, in the old Hail Varsity offices, there aren't curtains. You can always peer outside, but that's kind of more torture, isn't it? I mean, you see the beauty and the sunshine outside. It is a huge recruiting weekend for Nebraska, a big stretch here, as you have Northwestern and Ohio State home games looming. Still no date, I should say no time set for those. You know, it's a 7 o'clock under the lights extravaganza tomorrow night for Nebraska. And who are some of the kids you've been in contact with, Greg, that are making their first trip officially to Lincoln to check out what Coach Frost and company have in store?
Yeah, so I've got six confirmed official visitors, all on the defensive side. So Blackshirt Jay Moore will be very happy about that. You got four-star defensive back Henry Gray out of Miami, three-star defensive lineman Nusi Milani out of California, four-star inside linebacker Caleb McCullough out of California, four-star defensive back Miles Fluescher out of Oklahoma, who's actually committed to Oregon currently. So Nebraska going to battle with old Dante Williams. Three-star pass rusher Regan Terry out of Arizona, and another defensive lineman out of California, Tuli Tuiopulu, I think is how you pronounce the last last name. Really defensive day, and I think that this is something that will continue throughout the rest of the football season this year. As you'll see a lot of defensive guys, a lot of linemen, a lot of linebackers, and some defensive backs coming through Lincoln.
Greg Smith is with us, HailVarsity.com and Magazine recruiting analyst at Greg Smith HV. Of this group, Gray's the highest rated corner slash safety, and I know it's a cross-training program you get to with Coach Fisher. Slusher's the Oregon kid as well. So you got a kid from Soonerland that is quacker bound, but is still shopping a bit in Henry Gray. What sticks out about both of these DBs to you?
Both of them, it's funny, and I feel like we say this every time we talk about a defensive back that Travis Fisher is recruiting, is versatility stands out to me about both of them. And Gray in particular is a guy that I think could more be a safety at the next level. I think Slusher could end up playing corner at the next level. But Gray in particular reminds me on tape a lot of Noah Pola Gates. And I used to always describe Noah Pola Gates as having a mean streak on the football field for a guy that wasn't all that big, but he was really athletic and would definitely come up and hit you, right? So both of those guys, really versatile guys that you could definitely see Travis Fisher taking to. And on Slusher, on the point about him, it won't surprise you that Ryan Held is the person kind of leading his recruitment. As Held is continuing to do fantastic work on the trail, and Oklahoma is one of his states as well.
Greg Smith is with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. We're here at the Graduate Hotel. 9th and P, Home Football Fridays here, the longest drive competition going on. And plenty of food and drink specials. Greg Smith is all over recruiting as his recruiting recon dropped. And Greg, let's spend a little bit of time here on you have Terry, the kid that's the hybrid out of Arizona, a defensive line, outside linebacker, and also McCullough, the inside backer. Who's Nebraska's competition for both of these kids? Who are some of the other programs in the hunt?
Yeah, I think with McCullough, it's a bunch of the teams on the West Coast, but Arizona State in particular for him. UCLA is in on him as well. Terry has some of those Pac-12 schools, but I think Boston College is the team to watch out for in competition for him. He's actually got a brother that plays out there, but Nebraska has been high on his list for quite some time. This is actually Terry's second visit to Nebraska. He took an unofficial visit over the summer in which he came away really impressed and wanted to make sure he got an official visit early in the season. It's interesting that I don't think either of those guys have other official visits on the books right now to other places. So that always gives you kind of an opportunity to make a big move if you have a really nice weekend. And I think Nebraska could really separate themselves with actually a number of these guys that are coming into town this weekend.
Greg Smith is with us, Hail Varsity Radio recruiting analyst. And let's talk Tui Pelote. He is the D lineman out of Cali. What have you seen that kind of jumps off with his film? And where is he maybe a fit for Coach Ginander on the line?
Yeah, I think that he's more of a defensive end. I think he goes like 6'3", 250 right now. So he's got a good frame, long arm. And like they like their defensive linemen. He's got a good frame to continue to add weight. But he's a violent player on film. I think that he's a guy that's really aggressive. And something that stuck out to me when I talked to him over the summer about his interest in Nebraska is I usually ask guys, hey, you know, what are some of the strengths of your game? And the very first thing he listed was, I'm aggressive and I'm always running to the ball. Like, and I think that's something that coaches will always perk up about, will always like to see out of their players. But I think that he'd be a really good fit along their defensive line.
Greg, let's spend a second on some of the unofficial visitors. And you kind of got the who's who of the 2020 class. That's big. They are here to check out a night game. And also a lot of Nebraska kids. Give us an update.
Yeah, so you mentioned some of those unofficial guys for 2020. Nebraska has four guys that are coming in that are already committed. Nash Hutmacher will be back in town. Xavier Betts, Turner Corcoran, and then I think the most important one, Marvin Scott, coming back from Florida, all the way from Florida, coming back up to take in a football game here as he took his official over the spring. So it's always good to get that guy back in town, you know, keep him connected with the program, let him see the atmosphere of Memorial Stadium. I think that's a big deal for him. But then they've got a lot of 2021 prospects, including and probably headlined by Teddy Prochazka out of Elkhorn South. And then you also have a quarterback coming in from California, Peter Castelli, who was here for the Big Red Barbecue over the summer. Henry Lutusky is a lineman from Iowa that's coming in. Isaac Vatica will be back. Ryan Keeler is a four-star kid in the 2021 class from Illinois that'll be in town. They're doing a really good job of getting those guys on campus early, and a lot of guys in the trenches that are coming through as well.
Castelli's a name, and he's a high-profile kid. Nebraska always kind of seems to perk the interest of quarterbacks, don't they, between Super Mario, Coach Frost, and, of course, the reputation of what happens when you play quarterback for Scott.
Yeah, they definitely do, and I think that Castelli coming back this soon for his unofficial visit is a big deal for him to get to be around the program. But also, I think that there's a little bit of separation that still needs to happen yet with kind of the pecking order of Nebraska's preferred targets in 2021. A guy like Demetrius Davis, who we've talked about a bunch out of Houston, down in Texas, is probably the top guy. He's a really fantastic player. He's got a good start to his season. But beyond that, there's a bunch of guys that are kind of jumbled up, and I feel like kind of jostling to be that chosen 2021 quarterback, which is a great problem to have considering you've had your 2020 quarterback, Logan Smothers, locked up for quite some time.
Let's talk Davis for a second. I mean, where's Nebraska at with him?
So I spoke to him this week, actually, and he said that he's still looking to come out for the Ohio State game.
Why not?
Yeah, right. When we get to that one, we might need 2 seconds to talk about all the guys that are coming for that game. And he's another guy that's looking to come out for that one. Main competition with him is still Texas A&M. But if Nebraska can get Demetrius Davis back on campus for a game, especially that game against Ohio State, especially if it turns out to be a night game, maybe a 6:30 kick, I think Nebraska will put themselves in a nice position with him.
Greg, want to get your take on tomorrow night. What are you expecting? Jay and I were starting the show off, and, you know, Jay's not off when we talk the term crossroads, right? I mean, Nebraska better come out ready to rock. Easier said than done after a brutal one in Boulder. What do you think happens tomorrow night, and what are you expecting? What's the vibe been around the program this week in your eyes?
Yeah, I feel like the vibe has been, you know, just searching for answers. Like, I feel like there's been a lot of, hey, the offensive line needs to be better, but we've just got to figure it out. But we're making progress. You know, the wide receivers, we've got to get more guys on the field. But Trey Walker says that's on him. You know, Scott Frost mentioned, you know, a little bit of skittishness as a play caller looking for the perfect play. So I think that all of that to me says Nebraska needs to go out and simplify things tomorrow night when they line up against Northern Illinois. And I think they should go out and try and establish that run game, stick with it, as Greg often says they need to do, and really try to establish that game to really exert their will on Northern Illinois. I think Nebraska wins this game. I think it's probably still a little bit closer than people will feel comfortable with. But I think Nebraska by about 10, so they don't cover the spread, feels about right to me.
Greg Smith with the lock of the week. He says take Northern Illinois in the points. That's all right, Greg.
That is not a Burke's best bet right there.
No, I know. Danny Burke has been rolling in the desert. Podcasts, and Musburger knows his first name now. I mean, it's impressive.
Wow.
All because Danny's been crushing it. Greg, we will see you tomorrow at the stadium. I can't wait for your recon and the follow-ups with all the kids that will be in officially and unofficially. Keep up the great work, my friend.
Hey, thanks a lot, man. You guys have a good night.
All right, there he is. Greg Smith with us, HailVarsity.com and Magazine, recruiting analyst. A busy weekend, a tough stretch, and a big stretch for Nebraska in the world of recruiting. And Hail Varsity will have you covered. We'll dive into Scott Frost and criticism, how he is dealing with that. Chris Schmidt, Jay Moore, we're here at The Graduate, and here till 6, your chance still to come by and get signed up for Nebraska Northern Illinois tickets. We are still getting through the line of the folks swinging away here for the longest drive competition. If you're trying to find a parking spot good luck, but keep on trying. And we'll get you in here at the Graduate 9th and P. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
All-State, two-year starter, and rush in for the Big Red, an NFL vet.
He's Dudeness or Duder or, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
It's Blackshirt Jay Moore with Hail Varsity Radio.
I love hearing the dude talk about Jay Moore, the whole brevity thing. We're here at the Graduate 9th and P, Hail Varsity Roadshow Friday. Beautiful outside, but it doesn't feel like we're inside. If you haven't been to the Graduate, what an amazing setup for Nebraska fans. You've got the Tiki Bar that's jam-packed. You've got Top Golf simulators where you can get your swing on. And, of course, you can sign up for Nebraska Northern Illinois seats. We're here till 6. And, again, throughout the year, we're doing the longest drive competition. And ESPNLincoln.com gets you signed up, or you got to listen for that cue to call. We'll do the Friday forecast with Klausburn in 1 hour. Joel Makovica, our favorite fullback, coming up in 15 minutes. And the Pride of Fairbury is Bill Dolman. That at 5:25. So, Jay, I want to get into this with you about the criticism, the impatience, kind of the fallout from Boulder, where you had 30,000 Nebraska fans. That number keeps growing by the day.
Well, look, I mean, there was more Nebraska fans there than Colorado fans.
Sure, and it was awesome except for the fourth quarter and overtime, right? And you have Nebraska fans that were, based on Real Red reaction, message boards, phone calls. I mean, folks are disappointed, man. They are let down and deflated. They're not giving up. They're not checking out, but they're thinking twice about what 2019 is going to be. And I get all of that, man. You get disappointed as a fan. You wear your passion on your sleeve. You're also supportive and loyal as a Nebraska fan. But you're ticked off that it went that way last Saturday. And you and I are both in agreement. You better look good and play well tomorrow. Otherwise, it may be very well indeed an omen for what is to come. Mm-hmm. And that is a dogfight every game. And you're at the part of the program right now where that's just how it's going to be potentially. Maybe you can snap out of it and you get better by week three. And you still got time before Ohio State rolls here to keep working and keep improving. I think back to 99, and that team finished number two in the country. That team got carried by the defense early. Mm-hmm. Now, that was one of the best defenses ever. I think the 96 defense was insane. And I think the 99 defense was phenomenal as well. But you had the old Southern Miss game where it's 20-14 and Julius Jackson saves the day,
right,
with a couple of defensive touchdowns, and you beat a good Southern Miss team. But Nebraska was a mess with their quarterback situation, right?
Was that Crouch Newcomb's?
Crouch Newcomb, the miniseries.
Right.
And eventually they settled on Crouch, and Nebraska popped about week six as they rolled Missouri. Mm-hmm. So I think Nebraska will get better. I don't doubt that this program will get better this season, and they'll be a good football team by the end of the year. But I am wondering with Coach Frost, and I mean, he's one of the few quarterbacks that publicly took it on the chin by the Nebraska fans his senior season against Central Florida. That has always stayed with him. Coach Frost is very sincere about his love and his thankfulness of the Nebraska fan base. But he has been treated differently than other star players at Nebraska, where people were all over him for Arizona State. People were all over him for Central Florida. And he's had to really fight through it. And now as head coach, he has gotten, I don't know the percentage. It's always kind of the vocal minority, but people are crushing him for his play calling and game management in the second half. And that's fair. They didn't have a good second half, and they didn't perform. And coach is the first guy to say that's on me. That said, to me, he seems like a guy with kind of an elephant memory when stuff like that happens.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a sports.
It's not a wrong. Yeah, it's just an observation.
But this is just, in a whole, it's just sports in general,
And this fishbowl.
Right. Absolutely. You try to deal with expectations. You try to deal with, you hear him talking to be too perfect. You try to,
Do you sense doubt from him? Like doubting himself?
I don't think doubt. I think it's just a little frustration.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's like golf. I mean, I can always talk about golf. You know, when you're playing good, you never think you're going to play bad again.
Mm-hmm.
When you're playing bad, you don't think you're ever going to play good again.
Sure.
And then when you're playing good, you know, every decision's right. You're getting every, you know, everything. It's just going smoothly, you know. And then, you know, you get lucky every now and then. And then when you're playing poorly, you tend to start overthinking things. You start, you know, what's going on? Is it my swing? You know, is it this? Well, you know, you make some bad decisions. You don't get the good bounces. All of a sudden, boom, you're in a rut. You know, I think at Central Florida, they had it going. They had it clicking here. And it's like I said earlier in the first
quickly.
Segment, it's a different scenario. This is such a different scenario. I mean, this is it's tough. It's not fair to judge him off of year two at Central Florida at all to year two here. Completely different. You can't do that. I know that's what was figured into people's expectations this year. Look what he did at year two at Central Florida. He should be able to do the same thing in year two at Nebraska. Not so fast, my friend, you know. It's just a total different scenario. I think he is still learning. Like I said, I think the biggest thing, though, is dealing with expectations and knowing. And people got to realize, I mean, I think sometimes the fan base in general, they look at Purdue, Indiana, Northwestern, and as, you know, they don't see them as competent to
what Nebraska's been, right?
Yeah, to Nebraska, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, Michigan State, Wisconsin.
You're not in our lane.
Right.
Don't lose to them.
And they are. Like, people don't understand how tough it is to go and beat. I mean, we've struggled with Northwestern since they've been in this conference. We've been in this conference. It's hard. It is tough to beat these. The playing fields have been leveled.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and we just haven't. I mean, the thing is, people got to realize, too, it takes to get the talent and to get the team to where it needs to be. It's not going to happen in 2 years. Hell, it's not going to happen in a year and a half. It's not going to happen in 14 games.
Even if you inherit decent talent, it's still there's still a long history of guys that may be seniors now that are part of a different
right.
era where they've not had success.
Right, right. And decent, I think decent talent is fair, you know, here.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's not – we're not – Ohio State by any means, but it's okay, you know, it's okay. But it takes getting a team full of depth with talent is about a 5-year process.
Sure. Five years, right?
5 years. I mean, it's hard. It's a grind to get those to develop and bring those kids up to where you need it to be. So listen, I want it to happen yesterday. Listen, you know, wanted to win that Colorado game. That was a kick in the
and you've been waiting 15 years.
Right,
too, right.
Right. I mean,
you think
trust me, we have the right people here. We have the support now. We have everything. Everyone's on the same page. It just takes some time. It does. And it's, I mean, obviously, you should have won the game against Colorado. It didn't happen. But you got an opportunity presented to you, you know, for the next 10 games and in 12 weeks, because you got two byes in there to figure it out and get it right. And you never know what play, what situation is going to get you over that hump. You don't do it. I mean, it's just the sports in general. You never know. You might look and say, you know, as a golfer, that swing, bam, you found something. That play, bam, you found something. That whatever, you found something to where, okay, that got me over the hump, that gets you over the hump, and now we're rocking and rolling.
Jay Moore, Chris Schmidt, we're here at The Graduate. Hail Varsity Radio, as we are winding down this first hour. Joel Makovicka is coming up here. We'll hear from Bill Dolman and thoughts from more from Jay Moore, Chris Schmidt, and your chance at Nebraska Northern Illinois seats as we roll forward on Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time this hour is Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Jay Moore here at the Graduate, 9th and P. And we invite you out. Home Football Fridays 4 to 6. The Top Golf simulators are awesome. Longest drive competition, a ton of fun. More chances as we lead up to Ohio State for you, not only to qualify for Ohio State Nebraska tickets, but yes, get to be a part of the longest drive competition. And we'll draw for the Nebraska Northern Illinois seats here just before 6 buying or selling the 19-point spread with New England and Miami? You're an NFL guy. Ooh. You know that everything's between 3 and 7. If you got a really bad team, maybe it's minus 9 to minus 11. You have Miami dogged by 19 to Brady, Belichick, and Giselle.
Yeah. Miami's got a dumpster fire of a situation. They got players
it's
down
Geist,
there.
It's right?
Yeah, I mean, it's just.
Is it Adam Geist?
No, Gase is at the Jets.
Okay.
Yeah, it's.
Who's the Dolphins coach?
It's, gosh, he just came in. He was a defensive coordinator. Gosh, was he with New England? I can't remember.
No, Patricia's in Detroit.
Right. But, I mean, where did he come from? He's come from Arizona. I can't remember. But he's a former defensive coordinator. But, yeah, it's a bad deal. I mean, they just got rid of all their top two or three draft picks in the last couple of years in trades. And guys now are trying to get traded out of there because it's a dumpster fire. Brian Flores. Yeah. So, it's a mess there. Well, 19's
like,
a lot.
I like Ryan Fitzpatrick, though.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the Harvard grad.
Yeah.
And they got the old UCLA quarterback, too.
Right, guys,
Rosen.
That's the problem. That's why everyone's wanting the hell out of there. You got PhD a-hole.
Right, right. No, it's they got a mess. I would, god dang. I'll take the Patriots. That could Patriots
19.
Look pretty good. Did you see the Patriots play the Steelers week one?
No.
And did you see the Dolphins play?
Dolphins smoked.
By the Ravens? I mean.
Well, but Belichick was ready to start breaking boards over his forehead with the Antonio Brown storm system that's moved from into the fire. Area.
Yeah. Talk about it. I mean. That guy.
You had Antonio Brown and Gordon on the same squad. I mean, New England could be putting up 45 a game.
Absolutely. They get it figured out. I mean, that's good luck. Edelman, yeah, good luck.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, good luck to that. Those defense coordinators trying to figure out that. I mean, there's no chance.
I think, you know, the sneaky game I want to see, and I'll be at youth baseball, which will be okay because it's a blood game on Sunday. It'll be good.
What game?
Juniors play in.
I thought you were talking about an NFL game.
Well, yeah, that too. But I'm saying the runs allowed in this game might rival the scoring explosion by Baltimore and Arizona.
A little defense, huh?
Yeah. Well, I'm anxious to see Murray and Lamar.
Oh, sure.
Because, I mean, Murray looked good. He was fun to watch.
A little comeback.
Detroit.
Right, yeah. That was a good game. I mean, how about they got to fix that, right? You can't have any more ties in an NFL game, can you?
Never. Just go to the college football rule.
Right.
Right?
Right. I mean, those guys just played 5 freaking quarters. 5. Tell you what, take the spread against whoever they're playing this week after they just came off 5 quarters.
Well, they're playing Baltimore.
No, there you go. Well,
Jay Moore, Chris Schmidt, Joel Makovicka, Husker Hall of Famer when we come back, hour 2. Come see us here at the Graduate till 6, 9th and P with Hail Varsity.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmidt and Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. It's time to give the ball to the fullback here and get across the goal line. We say hi to Joel Makovicka. Joel, what is good? How are you?
Not too bad, man. It's always good to be with you. It's a bright, sunny day and Friday in Nebraska, and we have another game tomorrow, so maybe get the little bad taste out of our mouth and get a win. So that's what Nebraska needs right now, is we need a win.
Not that I think you know, but I'm sure you've heard about the time you roll up to a bar when you're 21 and people are buying you shots for your birthday, and there's a ton of shots that just taste horrible. what shot was Colorado?
there was there a shot called the bar mat where everything on the bar floor gets put into a shot glass
and then
you drink it. I think that might be this Colorado game is the bar mat shot.
How does Joel Makovicka watch a fourth quarter like that? You've seen two of them. You saw Northwestern, you saw Colorado.
Mm-hmm. You know, this game, it was a gut punch. It really was. Losing to Colorado, losing at any point, and the way we were in charge of that game and had that game under control, losing to any team is bad. But losing to a team like Colorado that, you know, put an emphasis on the rivalry so much and getting back to the Big 8 and the Big 12 days, it is a gut punch. But, you know, Nebraska did some good things, but a lot of people thought we had that game in better control than I ever felt throughout the whole game. You talk about, yes, we, as a defense, I thought they played well, but they still need to get off blocks and make tackles, and we can't have blown coverages. But you talk about even being in control. The first drive of the game, Colorado should have been stopped and been punting at the 4-yard line, or they're then backed up at the 4-yard line and given our Nebraska offense a short field. But we had a penalty, and they drove the ball for 7 minutes. So our offense didn't get the ball till seven or eight minutes. So our offense didn't get the ball to about 7 minutes in the first quarter. So things like that add up, and it's not like we were just in such dominant control of that game that I couldn't see this coming if we fell flat on offense.
Joel Nakovic is with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Joel, when you look at Nebraska's offense, what do you like and what do you think is still a work in progress? And I'm asking specifically here from your eyes about the running game and then the offensive line.
You know, there's some things you can like about the offense, and I think there's some things that need to be corrected and need to be corrected in a hurry. I think, you know, we still have a talented quarterback, but there's things that he needs to do better as far as taking care of the football and, you know, staying comfortable in the pocket even when there's guys playing on an edge that really aren't in his face, but he's getting a little antsy, and when he gets off his spot, you know, he doesn't go through his progressions. But first and foremost, if we don't get our offensive line playing better, we're going to have a long season. And what I mean by that is if you watch the game on Saturday, we're not changing the line of scrimmage at all. And I'm not talking about pushing defensive linemen 4 and 5 yards beyond the line of scrimmage. I'm talking about changing the line of scrimmage a yard and a half, 2 yards, and driving your feet and moving players instead of position blocking. And we need to get that corrected, because it is tough for Scott to call plays when you can't change the line of scrimmage, and then it is difficult for a quarterback to stay in there and stay on his spot and go through his progressions when he feels like there's some pressure when there isn't. And if you watched a lot of it on Saturday, Colorado was doing a lot of simple TE tackle and stunts with their defensive line, and our offensive line would come off so slowly to pick those up that they would play on edge and disrupt Martinez. So we have to do a better job offensively, because this is a big boy conference. There's no two ways about it. This is a big boy conference, and you have to play well on the offense and defensive lines. And offensive line needs to play better, and they need to get better.
Joel Nakovic, a few minutes here, Hail Varsity Radio. So, Joel, with the running game, I mean, Mo got to the edge, had the big run. But, you know, you hear Coach Austin saying, let's run it between the tackles. You hear Walters and Frost saying it's been tough sledding up the middle, aside from Adrian and the quarterback power keep, you know, up the middle. You haven't seen any zone read, really. And
this is why their best offensive running play has been and it hasn't really been, it has been the quarterback power a little bit,
yeah.
But their most successful offensive run play has been more quarterback draw with a little delay.
Yep.
And the reason that is because then the defensive line is up the field and the offensive line is just position blocking and Adrian has some creases. But when it is just downhill running, they have not changed the line of scrimmage. So Coach Austin can talk all he wants, but they have to get better about changing the line of scrimmage, or you can't run downhill, because it's like running downhill against a brick wall. If you're not changing the line of scrimmage and not moving bodies even a yard off the line of scrimmage, all of a sudden it turns into you're bouncing all these plays to the outside anyway. And so that's where I think the play calling comes into it, where they get concerned that they can't run downhill, so then they are running laterally, and they just want creases, and it's more position blocking, and then they can get creases or outflank the defense and get Mo on the edge. But I agree. I would like more downhill running, The problem is what I saw on Saturday is they're not getting any movement. So if you can't do that, it is tough sledding all day to be a downhill running football team.
Joel, when we talk about vision and finding creases, there are creases there, and you've got Mo in contact, and he doesn't avoid it, but he's not a guy that probably loves it. That's just my, very elementary two cents, not ever carrying the football. But then there's Mills,
you
right?
You were an unbelievable tailback in high school, weren't you, Eddie?
Hell no. I had the old inhaler around my neck. Most guys wore chains. I had a chain with an inhaler.
You were the water boy. We get it.
I was a kid in the stands trying to sneak a smoke. Don't smoke, kids. But listen, you've got Mills, and you've got his JUCO background where it was downhill. You have his option background where he's a fullback in an option attack, so it's short burst and then just squirt through there. Tell me and take me through the vision discussion here with what Nebraska's O-line can do and and what Mills maybe isn't doing from a vision or a cutback standpoint. I'm talking about Mills being a lot like you as far as you just kind of rolled people over, but you didn't avoid contact, but you were able to make a move and get extra yards if you could.
Well, and this is what we talked about earlier, is they're two different backs. Mo Washington and Dietrich Mills are two polar opposite backs, to where, yes, Mo Washington, that's how he's built. He's a electric, fast guy that he's not a physical runner. He wants to avoid contact. He's not going to be a physical runner. And Dietrich Mills is that type of runner, is that more of the so-called power back that is a physical runner, and he runs hard. But it's what we talked about earlier. He is a downhill running back. And when it all starts with the offensive line, if they're not getting any pushes, there are less lanes to run through. And so when you're running back and you're running downhill, if it's all just a massive humanity where there's no movement and no creases, it just looks like a wall. And so you take away a lot of your running lane, so the vision is muddled a little bit. And then it almost turns into – that's why Le'Veon Bell with the Pittsburgh Steelers got his running style. He's a downhill runner, but a very patient – to where he understands that, if there's not much movement on the offensive line, they will keep working and a lane will flash that then he can burst through. We always had a saying with Coach Solich, it's smooth to the hole, speed through the hole. So it's never running downhill as fast as you can, hoping the lane opens up. It is, you're smooth to the hole, and once that lane opens up, no matter if it's a position block or the offensive line is doing a great job, driving people off the line of the scrimmage, it's smooth to the hole, and then when you see the hole, it's a burst and speed through the hole. And so I think that's where they need to get to. But again, it starts with the offensive line, and I think Dietrich Mills, as the year progresses, it's just like anything. He was at Georgia Tech, and then I think 2 years in junior college, or if it was a year, you can correct me, things will start slowing down for him, because now you're in big boy conference to where things are fast. It's just like going from high school again to college, where I think things will start to slow down and he will see some of those lanes develop and open up as long as the offensive line improves.
Do you have a panic level, or are you like, okay, Colorado sucked, fine, awful loss, but still lots of season left? Where are you at I know you're a supporter, but just as an outlook.
Absolutely.
As an outlook guy on the season.
I'm concerned. I guess that would be my panic level is concern. Going into this year, I thought our schedule set up well, and I was cautiously optimistic about what we would be. But I just wanted to see improvement in us building. And I was the first one to say is we're still 1 or 2 years away from where we need to be in the trenches, and most specifically offensive line. And I still believe that. So I still think we're on track to where we need to go. the disappointing part to me is we haven't found a number one X receiver that can take the top off the defense. And so that is one of my biggest concerns, because we have recruited quite a few receivers that we've kind of missed on. We have two dynamic slot guys, but you need a true number one X that can take the top off the defense to open up some of the underneath stuff and let these slot guys make plays. But it is concerning, because, listen, Wisconsin shows that they're a team that's going to be a team to reckon with, and you still have Iowa that's good on both sides of the ball as far as offensive defensive lines, and you got an improved Minnesota and Northwestern team, so it's concerning. But what Nebraska needs to do is they need to have this game as a get-right game. And I get we got beat by Northern Illinois in 2017, but that should never happen. There was two pick sixes in that football game. And so if we take care of the football, this is a get-right game at Memorial Stadium, where we just need to get where we're winning a couple games in a row and get our confidence built up. But it always seems like we win a game, we lose a game. We win two games, we lose a game. We can never get that roll and that confidence that these kids need, because it's all about confidence. I mean, we're 2-14, I think, in our last 16 road games, and that creeps into the psyche of 17, 18-year-old, 19-year-old kids when things start going wrong, that it's, oh, here we go again. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm concerned, but I'm still optimistic about where we can go with this football team as long as we keep improving. Now, I don't think the record is going to be where a lot of these guys wanted it to be as far as the outside perception, but I think as far as the coaching staff and the people in that building, they want to just continue to build. So if it's 7-5, 8-4, as long as they're building to something to where they're looking at year 3 and 4 to where they can compete for championships, I think they'll be happy.
Joel Makovicka, Husker Hall of Famer, Hail Varsity Radio. Joel, last thought here. When it comes to criticism, that's not something that's been out there towards Coach Frost. But there was criticism about his play calling and the way the team didn't finish. How do you think is that something that he's even paying attention to?
You know what? Everybody's human beings, so I think if you're on social media or you see the papers, you will always get wind of some of those things. But I think Coach Frost is more focused on what they need to do to get better. And I think when he took this job, he understood. He was a player here. He understood how fanatical Nebraska fans can be, and I say that in a good way.
Sure.
Because that's why we had, and I don't know, you can correct me because you were there, that's why we had what looked like 45,000 people in Boulder, Colorado, and made that stadium almost a home game and made it red, is because Nebraska fans are the best in the country. So when you have that, you do have some people that will be overly critical when things aren't going right. It's a very fine line right now, because we haven't been as good as what people have wanted for the last 15 years. So when things, fans are the same way as players, is when things start going wrong, there's this psyche that says, here we go again. And now we have an outlet where we can vent on social media, and you hear a lot more things. But that's why Nebraska football is great, and we strive to be great, is because we have the best fans in the country. So he knew that coming in. So I think he understands it, and he's going to put his head down and try and get this team back to where it needs to get by going back to the drawing board and looking at the film and saying, these are the things we need to correct. Because, you know, you correct two things on defense where they had two blown coverages, and the defense plays pretty well, and yeah, we win that game. They got back into the game on two blown coverages, and that's what happens, and those things are correctable. There's some other things that will take a year or two, but I think he puts his head down and goes back to work, and he lets the outside noise be the outside noise, and he understands. You saw it in the paper today. He understands that he's talking to the fans when he says, hey, the Memorial Stadium under the lights is the best anywhere in the country. And so he's trying to get the fans juiced to come out and be our Nebraska fans. And they will, but there will always be criticism no matter what you do.
Joel Makovicka. Joel, we'll get caught up again, man. Awesome stuff. Thanks for a few.
All right, my man. Good to be with you.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes!
That's awesome.
Back here at the graduate 9th and P at Hale Varsity Radio Road Show Friday. 30 more minutes to get signed up for Nebraska Northern Illinois tickets. And we'll draw that here. Kristen will draw that here before 6 o'clock. We welcome in, out in Colorado, the Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports, ESPN Sports, Bill Dolman with us, at Bill Dolman on Twitter. Billy D, have you recovered? How are you?
Oh, yeah, I recovered. It's pretty easy to recover out in Colorado because once the game was over with, people around here forgot about it. So the vast majority of people didn't even know there was a game there, as evidenced by the crowd. And the Broncos then played a couple nights later, and there were people talking about snow somewhere in the mountains sometime this weekend. So anything that happened in Boulder last weekend was either forgotten because nobody cares or they were high.
Right. I was going to ask if it was medicinal or if it was just radar-wise. What point did you freak out about this thing could go the wrong way?
Probably the flea flicker. That was pretty telling. And then, you know, the thing we didn't talk about last week, and it kind of dawned on me at that point, and I'm sure Nebraska, and I know that I've kind of read that they didn't think that, you know, the altitude was that much of a factor. Nebraska looked really tired defensively in the second half. In fact, looked a little tired offensively in the second half. And if you're not acclimated to it, it can be a factor. And as much as you tell yourself that it's not, you know, and you might play on adrenaline in the first 30 minutes, it's a big deal, you know. And I thought Nebraska looked really tired in the second half, but that's just one of the excuses. They were out-coached in the second half. They were outplayed in the second half. They were out everything in the second half except outnumbered in the stands.
Bill, how have you tempered your expectations now after two games?
Well, you know, I hate to say after two games, I was fearful, you know, as the hype machine was kicking into high gear months ago. Mm-hmm. I said it on this show. And I think that, and I said it last week, I think that this is a team that was reading more headlines than playbook. But there's no question that's a bad loss. And I'm as much as I hate to agree with Urban Meyer, I think he was probably pretty dead on in his assessment. It was a bad loss. Adrian Martinez has not found his rhythm this year, and whether that's being, you know, too much being put on a sophomore quarterback. You know, the thing that really kind of struck me watching the game, you know, there's been so much said about him and how good he is, and I think he is really, really good. But as I watch that game, I go back to the greatness of Tommy Frazier, and maybe I mentioned it last week. But it really started to strike me how great of a competitor Tommy Frazier was as a true freshman when he got his first start against Missouri. I know they lost a couple of the games, but there was just something special about the edge that Tommy Frazier brought with him from Florida immediately that had an impact. And as great and as talented and as physically gifted as Adrian Martinez is, that edge just quite isn't there yet. It comes with time. It's just that with Tommy Frazier, it was there immediately. And as I'm watching that game last week, I'm thinking, if Tommy Frazier was the quarterback of this team as a freshman or sophomore, Nebraska doesn't lose.
That's fair because, I mean, that's what type of game changer Tommy was and is, you know, with his demeanor. And it's not that Adrian can't lead or won't lead or isn't leading, but it's more of a process versus a kind of a show up with that it, right? And
yeah,
I look at Nebraska's defense, and I thought I think Nebraska's defense played well this year. I know they got lit up, but I'm just wondering, man, is there more of this to come? Fatigue on defense because the offense, and let's be straight, Bill, the offense has disappeared in different games this in the 14-year tenure of Frost. I want to ask you about Scott Frost, and we were talking with Jay about this. You know, is Frost going to be able to deal with, and he will, but I'm just saying, you know him better than most because of covering Scott when he was in Lincoln. you know, the fans lit him up after Central Florida and Arizona State. A vocal minority lit him up from his play calling and his game management against Colorado. Can he handle criticism by the Nebraska fans?
Absolutely, I think he can. And I go back, and maybe I pictured in my mind, and maybe it happened, maybe it didn't, Scott talking to Tom on Saturday night or Sunday. And, you know, you go to your mentor and say, all right, we had a bad day. You know, what do I do? I have a pretty good idea that Scott Frost knows what to do, but sometimes it's good to have a sounding board who's gone through it. You know, Nebraska fans need to understand this. This is the last chance, okay? If it's not Scott Frost, and I don't think Scott's going anywhere, he's not going to quit on this, but if it's not Scott Frost, this is Nebraska's last chance at relevancy, football, legendary status, and all of that. Okay, there's nobody else who's going to walk through the door who's going to understand the program. We've gone through this, what, three times already? Four times, and one guy we fired who, you know, should have been the immediate predecessor to Scott Frost, and that was Frank Solich. But that's not what happened. We can't erase history. But without Scott, and again, he's not going anywhere. Bill Moos isn't going to make a change. It doesn't matter what some guy in his basement in West Point or Schickley is saying on the internet behind Husker Law 92, right? Okay? It's not going to happen. But any Nebraska fan who is dissatisfied at this point and thinks that we need to do something dramatic, you got to understand this is the last chance. Now, if Scott moves on after 7 years, there's a chance for somebody to be groomed, to be the heir apparent and the successor, and that's all well and good. But right now, those people who are stupid enough to be thinking that this was a mistake and we need to do something different and maybe see if Bill Belichick is willing to take the job, you know, it ain't going to happen. And there's nobody else who's going to walk through the door in the immediate future that's going to maintain or bring Nebraska football back to where it was. The guy for the job has got the job. So anybody who's upset and throwing stuff out on the internet, and I see it on my Facebook streams, anybody who thinks otherwise is an absolute fool. Scott's going to be fine. Scott is going to be fine, okay?
Don't disagree at all. But there is a point in time where more normal people, Tom Osborne included in 1978, screw this. I don't need it. You don't appreciate me. I'm out. I'm worrying about that at some point.
And that, and you know what? And that remains Nebraska's greatest victory over Colorado ever. Amongst the 49 wins against what now 21 losses in what is still not a rivalry but just a pain-in-the-ass game that people like to plug. All right, Tom Osborne flirting with Colorado at 78 or 79 and saying, you know what, I'm going to stay home. That remains the all-time greatest win in that series ever, okay? Scott's not going to go anywhere. He's going to get it turned around, and everything is going to be, you know, fine probably by the end of this year. There's going to be a big win somewhere along the way. There might be two where things just click, you know, just like they did last year against Michigan State and that 4-2 run toward the end of the year. Adrian's going to play better. They're going to call better. They're not going to be as conservative as they were in the second half. They're not going to play at altitude again. They're not going to play in the foggy haze from the dispensary down the block from Folsom Field that may have also hung over the field. You know, things are going to be okay, and they're going to start this week. I'm sure that they're well-motivated, they understand what they lost, and that it can't happen again.
Bill Dolman's with us, the pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports, ESPN. We're talking Nebraska as they look forward to Northern Illinois. Bill, you're not lying, man. I stepped out of the car, got the equipment, and we're getting set up at Bear Creek, and it was a phenomenal time. A lot of Nebraska fans from Lincoln, Omaha, Kearney, Denver showed up to party with us during the show, and I walked out and I about got knocked over, man. It smelled like my buddy's car. I mean, there's just stuff hanging in the air out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I went to downtown Denver last night and had a beverage, and walking from the from that place to my car, you could smell it wafting through the neighborhood of the Highlands. It's just the way it is around here. You automatically, people got to have like an emergency bag of Doritos or Cheetos in their car.
Break in case of emergency.
Yeah, exactly.
I like it. What do you see tomorrow night from Nebraska, Northern Illinois?
You know what? I plan on seeing and hearing about 91,000 fans amongst the 92 that are going to be incredibly supportive of their team. They're going to be appreciative that those guys have chosen to wear the scarlet and cream. They're going to be excited that they take to the field, and they're going to be into the game, you know, to the very end. There's going to be 1,000 people who are idiots, and they're going to get drowned out by it, and they're going to think that they're watching with a keen eye with their face paint, thinking they know everything, and they don't. So I think it's going to be a great atmosphere. I think it's going to be very supportive. And I think Adrian Martinez may have one of the best games that he's had as a Husker because, you know, I think it comes down to he knows that he needs to play better. You know, the second half was just not a good half for any in any way, shape, or form all around. Again, they were out-coached. They were outplayed offensively. They were outplayed defensively. I never thought in the fourth quarter Nebraska was going to stop Colorado. Mm-hmm. And I think that they were out-conditioned in part because of the altitude. That's not an excuse. That's a fact. And, you know, you're back home. You're going to be motivated. People are going to be behind you. And, I don't think Northern Illinois is going to be easy either. Northern Illinois might be better than Colorado. But I think the fact that it's at home, they know what happened, and I think it'll all be corrected. And I think Scott will have a great game.
Score. Give me a score, bud.
Well, I look for Nebraska to dominate, and I don't think there's any question that they're going to win this pretty easily. And I'll say 5-3.
5-3, no cover. Take the unders.
Yeah, but I think it's one of those games that's not as close as the score indicates.
Gotcha. Right, Billy D. Bill Dolman, the pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports, ESPN, at Bill Dolman on Twitter. Bill, you're awesome, man. We'll get caught up next week in front of the Illini, okay?
All right, and always, go Big Red.
There he is, Bill Dolman. He's good. Good for him. He isn't lying. It is Funyuns and Doritos land out there. Had to take 4 or 5 more breathing treatments. Clausburn, he's imaginary. He wears red. Friday forecast is next. Hail Varsity, Chris Schmidt, Jay Moore. You're at the Graduate, 9th and P.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
We are back here at the Graduate, Home Football Fridays. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. 10 more minutes to get signed up for Nebraska Northern Illinois seats. We'll do the drawing here in a moment. Chris Schmidt, Jay Moore, 9th and P. And don't forget the Top Golf simulators. Good place to throw a party with your boys or girls and enjoy Swing Away. And the chance for you to get signed up for the longest drive competition throughout the year. Be thinking about that for Ohio State Week. Can log on ESPNLincoln.com, do so, or listen for that cue to call. And we're going to welcome in our dear friend Clausburn as we get things kicked off for the Friday forecast. Claus, how are you?
Well, I'm doing okay. And as I understand, earlier this week, you did a show from one of my favorite places in the entire world, in Kearney. And hopefully the journal bites are the thing that made you, only thing you ate, that gave you a euphoric feeling after ingestion while you were coming back from Colorado.
It was euphoric. Let's get some music going, Clausburn. That's classified information, my friend. And let's get to the forecast. Clausburn and the euphoric feeling in munchies from Colorado. Colton's going to jump in on the forecast with us today. It will start out USC. They're doing so well. Lynn Swann resigned. He can't fire Coach Helton. They are in the land of BYU. BYU's been kind of close, but not close enough. It's SC -4 with a backup quarterback who beat Stanford last week. This is going to be tough. You've got USC-Stanford early in the year. Traditionally, USC will win, and I think they'll cover, but it's going to be tight, 31-20. Barely they get the cover. SC wins it. They stay unbeaten. Jay.
I like SC in this one as well. Obviously, somewhat tough place to play in Provo, Utah. But
there's no alcohol. Yes, it's a tough place to play.
Absolutely. Cranky. I like USC 31 and BYU 23. Okay. Winning the cover.
The cover. Colton, what do you got?
Yeah, I think USC keeps the train rolling from last week. They won by 25 against Stanford. Give me USC 41-24 cover and a big win on the road.
Klausburn, SC or BYU?
Now, is this game at BYU?
It is.
Okay, that may change my pick here. I always, as you know, much like every member of Sigma Chi, I always trust the Trojans to cover down south. But with the game being played up there, I'm really surprised they even allow Trojans in Mormon country. So I think this game might be a little closer. But I'm going to take USC 35 and BYU 24.
Thank you, Klausburn. Iowa, Iowa State. It's a game day weekend in Ames. I think the unders are good on this, and I think it's going to be one of those tight ones. Give me Iowa. Give me Iowa, and give me Stanley making a play for the Hawkeyes. 21-17. Iowa wins. Iowa covers in Ames. Jay.
Man, that's a tough one. You got game days there. Give me Iowa State and fighting Matt Campbell. You know, I like them. I like them here. Initially I wanted to pick Iowa, you know, but I think the scene's going to be pretty electric there. It's going to be close, but give me Iowa State 24, Iowa 21.
Wow. 1-point win. What do you think, Colton?
I'm going with Iowa State here. They get the cover. They get the win straight up. Cy-Hawk Trophy is going to stay in Ames. 27-17 Cyclones.
What do you got, Klausborn?
Well, this is obviously going to be a large concentration of Iowans in one spot. But my friend at NASA assures me there's no meteors on the way, so I have no good interest. I'll take Iowa State in this one, 13, and Iowa 10.
He does think the defense might rule the day. That's not bad. Arizona State, and you play to win the game on the road at Sparty. That thing was a disaster in the desert for Michigan State's offense. Sparty's got a run game. Sparty's got a great defense. Sparty's got payback. And it's Michigan State all over Arizona State, 31-13. Give me the win and cover for Sparty. Jay.
Yeah, I like Michigan State as well. They're at home. I like Michigan State, 31, and Arizona, 14.
Okay.
Or ASU, excuse me.
Colton, what do you got?
Well,
your Sun Devils are on the road, and they show?
I think you know where I'm leaning with this one. I think Arizona State covers 15 easily. I think they win on the road. They beat them last year. They don't have the advantage of the 100-degree kickoff temperature. But ASU 30, Michigan State 20.
Wow. Really? Dude, I know you like Arizona State. And who doesn't? Scottsdale's awesome. So are their co-eds. But really? All right. You might prove us all wrong. Klausburn, what do you got here, Arizona State or Michigan State?
Well, I think Arizona State is probably a fun team to follow. Of course, lots of studies come out every year or so that say Arizona State is the campus on which the most alcohol is consumed. Michigan State used to have that title up until 1956 when a certain Spartan assistant was hired to be the head coach of Wyoming. I don't know if you're a history buff or nothing. But I somewhat agree with Colton. I think that spread's too high. But I'll take Michigan State to win this one, 27, and Arizona State 20.
Let's skip to Nebraska. We'll circle back to Purdue and TCU if time permits. For the Huskers, -14 against Northern Illinois. This is the get-right game. This does kind of determine how things work the rest of the year. Nebraska will keep getting better, but Nebraska needs a major step forward. I think they get it, and I think they handle it well. And give me Nebraska 38-21, the win and the cover. against the Huskies, Jay?
I think it's going to be a little bit closer than that, kind of grind. Some up and down battles. You're going to still see some issues offense, and you might still see some defense. I think the kicking game could be still an issue with, you know, having a kicker injured. I picked, this is my prediction on Tuesday night. I'm sticking with it. Nebraska 31, NIU 21.
Okay, 10-point win. It's probably right there, honestly. I think it'll be about a 10-point game, and Nebraska might dirty another touchdown. We'll see. Colton, what do you got?
Yeah, I think this offense comes out angry. I'm going a little more high scoring. I think they're not going to try to prove anything. I think they're just going to outmatch the Huskies up front and maybe get some kind of run game going. I'll take the Huskers 48-20.
48-20, says Colton. Klausburn, what do you have?
Well, I think Northern Illinois played Utah pretty tough, and I think Northern Illinois knows how to win at Memorial Stadium, but there's a couple key differences from this game versus last game. One, we have a quarterback who's got more mobility than my statue out to the north. And two, we're not going to have a head coach who spends roughly 30% of the game desperately searching for a Werther's in his coat pocket. So I think this one is probably close, but I think Nebraska wins. And I'm going to change it up from Jay a little bit and say Nebraska 31. And Northern Illinois, 24.
7-point win, says Klausburn. Colton, good work. Jay Bird,
yeah.
I like the thoughts. Klausburn, we love you, and we'll talk next week for the Illini.
Okay.
There he goes. That is Klausburn, the Friday forecast here on Hail Varsity Radio. We'll wind down a Friday on the road here from the Graduate 9th and P. As Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time here at the Graduate. Home Football Fridays. Come see us 4 to 6. We love spending time and watching folks participate in the longest drive competition, Top Golf suites and simulators that Troy and the crew have down here. Incredible. Chris Schmidt, Jay Moore, Colton Stone. Many thanks to Klausburn. Big thanks to Bill Dolman, the mother of all fullbacks, Joel Makavica. How is Makavica off the tee?
Hey, you know, I
always give him crap about golfing all the time. We got to drag him and you down here. And do a battle royale.
I've played in events with him. I've never played with him personally, so okay. I couldn't tell you.
Well, you're kind of like top of the food chain. Makavica, though.
Golf is hard for me right now. Very hard.
Yeah, I'll trade you. Golf should be embargoed for me right now. But I want to remind you about moving. Have you moved during football season? Are you thinking about moving? Maybe have your eye on a property. West Blue Realty, it can make this thing happen for you during the fall. They specialize, West Blue Realty does, in residential home sales in Lincoln and surrounding communities. They'll help make that next move a smooth one. When you mention Hail Varsity, West Blue Realty can provide up to $1,000 upon the closing of your next home purchase. Jay, you and I have closed on homes the last 2 years. How nice would another G have been?
That would be huge.
Right? I mean, all you got to do is say, hey, Hail Varsity, West Blue Realty, let's hook up. Pretty easy to do. Tom Luby's awesome. He does such a great job. Give Tom a ring at 402-540-3768. Or Kelly Hofschneider. Kelly's good stuff at 402-202-2312. It pays to work with West Blue. Can log on. Find out more with Kelly and Tom at westbluerealty.com. Go see him at their location at 1120 K Street in Suite 200. Bird, a lot of NFL this weekend. You've got college football. Kind of a weak weekend, but that's where things surprise and sneak up a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
Syracuse got dismantled by Maryland.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been weird. Last week was really good, and then this week it's chill. And actually, next couple weeks are kind of laid back a little bit. Even like, you know, the Nebraska-Ohio State weekend, there's really nothing great going on.
That's it.
Right. I mean, yeah, Penn State at Maryland. You know, I think that's a Friday night game, though. But other than that.
God, man. What's the Big Ten? What's the Big Ten thinking with that?
Why are Big Ten teams playing so Big Ten schedule early? You had Iowa playing Rutgers early. Like, what's.
Well, in next year, I mean, you're going to get Nebraska-Iowa early, end of September.
Oh, is it? That's right. Because then when is it that Nebraska – doesn't Nebraska open with Purdue like
on
2 years on like a Thursday or Friday night first game?
On a Thursday, which I love Thursday night college football 2 weeks ahead of the NFL Thursday night.
Yeah, it's well, NFL Thursday night. We saw what that looks like last night. I mean, it's money. It's free money for them, but it's like the product is so poor.
It is. Well, it was good to see Levante and Sue combine.
Yeah, no, it's always good.
What the hell's Cam doing with the scarf?
I don't know. Trying way too hard.
Yeah.
Guys just try way too – I mean, he's kind of like all those NBA guys, you know, strolling up. It's like a mix between who can look like an absolute goofball but yet still be somewhat fashionably – sensible.
Good edit.
Yes.
We'll see you tomorrow. Special weekend edition in the rail yard, noon to 2, high above the rail yard. Come see us. Bird, good to see you.
Bet.
Colton, thanks. Talk to you tomorrow at noon with Hail Varsity.